Good afternoon. Welcome to the Football Full Disclosure. This is episode
8.
Yes, hey, Marty Bailey's back.
I'm back. Well, I was here.
Oh, you were here.
I'm always here. I'm always around. Just
you're always listening.
Quiet.
Just quiet. Yeah. Listening, itching to get in. So obviously last week we had Mr. Nathan King talking Tottenham. Inconsistent Tottenham.
Yeah, and I think that's the word you have to use to describe them. I wasn't shaking my head last week.
No.
I was kind of like, that was more like a noddy kind of
it was a good chat.
A bob.
Yeah, it was a good chat.
It was a good chat.
I really enjoyed that. Yeah, he had some good opinions about Tottenham. But anyway, let's talk game week 13. Are we happy?
We are very happy.
Are we delighted?
Yeah.
Are we ecstatic?
You have to be. That run that everybody talked about is kind of coming to its end
so
now, I think.
Excuse me, what run were people talking about?
This run where, we'll see what Liverpool are made of after they played this, you know, big old, you know what, 6, 7, 8 games,
after they had Leverkusen and we beat them. After Chelsea, we beat them.
Yep, that's
an Arsenal draw maybe was the only blip. After we had Brighton twice, we beat them. Real Madrid, we beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Man City, we beat them.
Beat them.
There we go. So what run are people talking about? What difficult run? Test Slot. Slot is the real deal.
Yeah.
He's a real deal. I think we need to take him seriously. If we weren't taking him seriously before.
Well, anyone who wasn't a believer, I think, is starting to become a believer now, if not already. He seems to have got everything spot on.
Believe what? That we
no, the slot is the real deal.
Okay,
no, the slot is
okay,
the real
okay.
deal that he is a quality manager because most people didn't know who he was.
No,
prior to him,
no, I mean he was obviously linked to Leeds and Tottenham before this, and yeah, and now he's here and he's doing the deal. But in terms of believer, do we believe we can win the league?
I certainly believe we can. But then believing you can and actually doing are two very different things, aren't they? So let's as I said, I think a few episodes back. Come February, if we're 9, 11, 15 points clear, then
okay.
I'll be starting to think, well, okay, this is looking very likely.
Okay.
But I think we're still in this part of the year. Let's wait until after January and then see where we're at then. That Christmas period is tough as well. There's a lot of games coming, and they come thick and fast, don't they? So a lot can change over the next few weeks.
Mm.
I think I'll certainly have an idea by January.
You believe in February?
Yeah,
okay.
Maybe.
Yeah. I've said to a few people, I think the team maybe we should fear the most is still City. You know, I think people are looking at Arsenal saying, should we fear Arsenal? I don't know. Because I think Arsenal have it in them to still be inconsistent here and there.
Well,
and right now, the way we're playing, we don't look like we should be dropping points. But Arsenal, you never know.
No, we're playing incredible football. But again, injuries happen, dynamics then change.
Yep.
And, you know, if it's in key areas, then things could certainly...
I mean, we lost Konate.
We will drop points somewhere along the line, I'm sure. I mean, he can't keep this going.
No.
I mean, I would love it if he could, but I don't think he's going to be able to keep this going.
No.
For the whole season, is it? I mean, we are going to drop points somewhere. It's just the hope that Arsenal, Chelsea and City also continue to drop points along the way.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we're all good, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Let's hope. But anyway, let's get started with obviously the first game. Why we're so happy? It was at Anfield, Liverpool hosting Man City. And honestly, I don't think I was actually worried. I don't think I was, afraid that City could actually lay a punch on us. It looked like complete and utter control from Liverpool.
Yeah, it's one of the only games we've played against City by that spanking we gave them a few years back.
Yeah.
Completely comfortable. I mean, their XG was like 0.3 or 0.4, something like that. I mean, we were like 2 or, you know, something to that
effect. Plus 3. We should have scored more.
I think it could have been a really humiliating result for them.
But I think, you know, it's testament to just how well organized this slot side is, but just how much control and confidence and just, you know, we never needed to chase the win. I think that was one of the key things. I was watching that and thinking, wow, these guys aren't even really out of second gear. They look like...
Sometimes when you try and force it too much, like you really need that second goal and you try
Klopp
and force it. And that's
used to
do, which it felt like that was what used to happen, wasn't it? You're trying to, we need that second. We have to get that second because we weren't solid enough at the back.
Mm-hmm.
We knew we needed a 2-goal cushion. Now, as you were just saying, it's you kind of, as a supporter, you're like, well, we might be all right at 1-0. You know, we could probably see this game out.
I think so.
I mean, of course, you want to see a second, third, fourth.
Yeah.
But if it's still 1-0, you're like, well, you know what? We might be all right here.
We don't want to embarrass City too much. And, you know, we want them, obviously, to still do a job for us. You know, they've got rivals to beat for us, you know, and our hopefully travel to the title.
I'm sure they will. You know, they may well have a little run. They'll pick up points. I'm sure they'll get back to winning ways at some point.
They'll replace Rodri. Okay, so I've got to ask you about Pep had the six up, and the Liverpool supporters were singing, "You're getting sacked in the morning," or whatever.
A bit of banter.
It's a bit of banter, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, absolutely. And people.
Or is he cracking?
No.
Oh.
I mean, you know, he I think everyone understands it's a bit of banter. It's just it's just a bit of fun, isn't it?
I think, smiled. And, I thought it was quite funny.
But fair play to him. Give it a little bit back. Yeah, I've got six titles. Well, yeah, maybe not at the end of the season when they've all been stripped away from you. We'll see what happens. But yeah, for now.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough, Pep.
There we go. Anyway, let's not dwell too much on our favourite team, obviously. Full disclosure, we are Liverpool supporters. But let's move on to the next game, which was probably our closest competitor right now. Arsenal, who are 9 points behind us, went to the London Stadium. And this was a first half game. The game was done in the first half. It was 5-2. 7 goals scored in one half. Like, what a crazy first half.
Well, Arsenal aren't shy of scoring goals, are they? We know they can score. Saka was incredible.
It was the Saka
always.
Show. Yeah. It was the Saka show. He was something else. I think for me, it was the second assist where the ball bobs up to him. He controls it. You know, he's more or less doing kick-ups, and he's assisted, you know, whoever it is. But my gosh, Saka, what a player. I think he's having an amazing season.
Yeah, he is. He's top class, isn't he? He's absolutely top class. He's everything you want in a winger, in that kind of player, isn't he? He's got the speed, he's got the skill,
he can
finish,
yep.
He can pass, he can cross. I mean, he's the full package, isn't he? He's really, really good.
But this is an Arsenal side that seems to be doing well because Martin Odegaard is back. And what does that say about Arsenal? That one player can dictate whether Arsenal are doing well or not doing well. Well, we've seen what happens without Rodri.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they weren't terrible without him, though, let's be honest.
They weren't the best.
Better with him. He's a quality player as well. Absolutely quality player.
Yeah.
But it's not quite the same as what's happening at City, is it? I mean,
like,
a completely falling apart, which is what it looks like is happening over there at the moment. They weren't really like that. They're still a dangerous team, without him.
Oh,
but yes, they're certainly better off when he is in the squad, absolutely.
Yeah. And what about West Ham? What are you thinking? You know, that's another loss. That's a thumping loss at home. And I think they lost again today, you know, as obviously while we're recording this, they've lost to... to Leicester.
They lost to Leicester, yeah.
Newly rejuvenated Leicester with Ruud van Nistelrooy as a manager.
Mm. Yeah, it was a great first game for him, wasn't
it?
To be in charge. I mean, we've Lopetegui. He could be...
another managerial chop.
Could be for the chop pretty soon, I think. If they don't start getting results, because the last two have
been
poor.
They look poor.
Yeah.
They look really, really bad. But, you know, well done to Arsenal. Do you think they can catch us? Do you think it's possible?
Well, 9 points isn't that much. I mean, let's be honest.
I
mean, it's three games.
Okay.
Depending on goal difference.
Okay.
At the moment, we're okay goal difference-wise, but that's only three games.
Okay. Potentially three losses, maybe four losses.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got goal difference on your side, maybe. Yeah.
You lose three.
Yeah.
And they go on a winning run. I mean, it's not, that's why it's too early. 9 points is not enough, I don't think, for me to be like, oh, yeah, well, you know, we're okay.
We have history.
15, 20 points, and I'll be like, yeah, okay, great. I think we've got this one.
Okay, but we have history on our side. No team has ever, well, I don't think any team has actually ever lost a title at this stage with this much of a points gap.
What?
So I think maybe the last teams that might have capitulated are Newcastle and Arsenal. So, I mean, should we be confident? Can they catch us? I don't know. I don't think so. I think we have to be confident. I know we've got this potential to be doom and gloom that, you know, like this is going to happen. We're going to lose a game here. We're going to lose a game there. But we're on form. And I don't think, you know, an even in-form Arsenal can catch us.
I mean, as I said, busy period coming up now. We'll see what happens at the end of the Christmas period because it's mad. Obviously, we're playing today, Newcastle away, and then we're playing at the weekend again.
Oh, yeah.
Everton. And exactly. That's quite, you know, it's a
big game.
It's a big game.
Yeah.
We'd expect to win it, but you
in
never
In some
know.
Ways, more difficult than City and Madrid.
Yeah, I mean... For me, it's the teams you least expect that are probably going to be the ones that trip you up.
Forest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I'm not really going into any game thinking, all right, I do think we should be winning it, but I'm not going to be like, right, we're going to spank them and get overconfident.
Yeah,
I think
I'm
just going to be like, right, let's see what happens. If we play our game, if we keep doing what we're doing,
then we're
fine.
Yeah.
But let's not get overconfident because we don't want the players to get overconfident because that's when...
Okay.
You know, you start relaxing a bit too
Let's
much.
Let's not believe yet.
Van Dijk, the one mistake he made in that game,
could have changed the game.
Yeah, could have changed the game. And and that was him just being a bit too comfortable.
Casual.
Yeah, a bit too casual, exactly. And we don't want that to go through the whole team. Then then it ends up being an issue. And then maybe Arsenal do catch us. Or, you know, quietly Chelsea, who are on the same points as Arsenal as well.
Yeah, that's a good point, because let's head over to Stamford Bridge, because our next closest rival is, Chelsea, also 9 points. Chelsea and Arsenal currently have identical points right now. I mean, I think it's 4 losses, 1 draw, something like that, and however wins. But Maresca has come out and he's categorically said, we are not in the title race. What do you think about that? A manager coming out, you know, they're 9 points behind us, and he's come out and he said, we're not in the title race. Is that him trying to protect his players, low expectations a little bit, or is that just a little too defeatist?
I think it is lowering expectations. I think as a player, I wouldn't want to hear that. I'd want to think.
Come on, we can do this.
We're playing all right. Let's keep going. But I think for him, he's protecting himself. I think, I don't know if he's thinking about the players so much. I guess he might be as well.
Okay.
I think he's protecting himself and saying, you know what, look, I've just come in. We've got a big job to do here. I mean, they have a lot of players, and they have a lot of good players as well.
The roster
that haven't been playing well.
Yeah.
So if he's getting them playing well, that's great. Mm. But they are quietly just chugging along and are playing pretty good football.
I think so. And maybe as a manager, that's what you want. You don't want your players thinking about the league. You don't want your players thinking about the Premier League title. Like, that's a potential. You want them just to, you know, do a job. Win your games, play your games, and win your games.
As a manager, the way Liverpool are playing right now, would you be committing yourself to being in a title race? So this is the thing. It's because, like, you've got to rely on Liverpool to mess up. I mean, if Liverpool win all the rest of their games and don't drop any more points, you win it, right? It's in our court now. So if I'm a manager, I'm not going to be like, right, we're right in this race when you're 9 points behind. How can you say that? I mean, if he gets 3 points behind, he's like, right, now, you know, we're on this, right?
Okay.
But keep an eye on Chelsea, because they're getting some good results. And against Villa, I know they're at home, Villa,
I will eat my words. Nicholas Jackson.
He's in your team now, isn't he?
He's not. He will be in my team. He will be in my team.
I've had him for a while now. Yeah, he's getting the points.
I will eat my words. Nicholas Jackson looks like a Premier League striker. I think, you know, I think this is his second or third season. I wasn't really sure about him. I think it was a Darwin Nunez thing about him as well. But, you know, he's a good finisher.
He's a very good finisher.
But also, I want to ask you, for that Chelsea game, when was the last time you saw a back pass?
Oh, I love that. That was all I've forgotten about that. That was,
when was the last time?
I know, right? That was super exciting, though. You're like, wow, man, I haven't seen this.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're all like lined up on the goal, and you're thinking, this is the coolest thing I've seen in ages.
Comical. It was comical. Do they remember the rules of the game? I think it was Pau Torres to Martinez. But it wasn't so much as like...
He just kind of stopped it with his foot, didn't he? But it rolled to the keeper and then he picked it up.
That was a pass.
But yeah, I mean... But nevertheless, it was still funny to see.
And
to see everybody on the line. Obviously, they didn't get anything from it. But yeah, that was quite entertaining, wasn't it?
It was,
I like that.
Funny, yeah. And Villa, what can we say about Villa? It's catching up to them, isn't it?
They're not doing very well, are they? Let's be honest.
Were they 12th in the league?
That's... High expectations. They were doing really, really well. But again, we talked about the squad depth, and I don't think they definitely...
They might have been rubbed in the Champions League against Juve as well. That was a bit harsh for them. They had a weird goal disallowed. The last kick of the game. But, I mean, they don't have the squad depth, do they?
They don't. And these kind of results are going to dent confidence as well. So, they may struggle, which is a shame, because they were doing really, really well. And they're a team that whenever you're playing Villa, you're thinking, this is going to be a tough game.
It's going to be a really tough game. But now it's looking, if they've had a Champions League game, they might actually be easy to turn over.
Yeah, I think teams are a bit more confident now when they're going to Villa Park.
I mean, they were away, but I think, Villa are going to have a tough season. You know, I hope they don't, you know, this doesn't lead to, you know, that Unai Emery losing his job or anything like that, because he's doing a great, great job. But 12th place is not where you'd expect this Villa side. It's a bit further back in the league than they would, you know, than they would expect.
Yeah. Definitely don't make the mistake of getting rid of him. He's a quality manager. Yeah. I mean, Arsenal did that. I thought he should have stayed at Arsenal.
He was there. That was an error on their part.
I think so.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd certainly hold on to him. Let's see how it goes. There's still plenty of time, isn't there?
Yeah.
It's still early days. We talk like it's, you know, we're in April.
It's only December, 12 games in the season, and everyone's talking about the season has ended already. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's head over to Old Trafford. Oh, they're happy. They found the second coming of Jose Mourinho or Fergie or whatever it is that they want to call, Ruben Amorim. You know, it was a 4-0 win for United. They were hosting, obviously, Everton. I'll tell you right now, that was the first 20 minutes of that game was one-sided. It was all Everton. And Everton were really super unlucky not to get a goal. But somehow, some way, the first half ends with the 2-0, United leading 2-0. And the game obviously ends with United winning 4-0. So it paints a picture that looks like it's a United side that are doing very well. They've taken to Ruben Amorim's philosophy really well. But I think they've still got problems.
They do. What I will say, from what I saw from the game, good intensity. You know, maybe not the start, but they started to pick it up a bit.
Better.
Maybe from certain players. Yes. That Ahmad, he did pretty well, right?
He did very well,
And there was some pretty good pressing, closing down, winning the ball back in good positions.
Yeah.
I think certainly the work rate's gone up a bit. And we talked about this before the manager came in as well. They'd already kind of raised their game a bit. Mm-hmm. They weren't doing it for the previous manager. We've already forgotten his name.
Yeah. I think it was
Ten Hag. Yeah.
Oh, five Hag, six Hag, yeah, six ten. Hag, seven, yeah, yeah, Ten Hag. Yeah.
Yeah, so they weren't doing it for him, but they seemed to pick it up once he left.
Yeah, and but that's what
they, you know,
do,
they're
right?
still continuing that new manager. You've got to impress. Okay, fair enough. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Everton are a team they should certainly be beating at home.
Everton.
And then I think bigger teams will still be turning them over, so, I think, at this point in time.
Everton are going to find it tough because they're currently on 9 points. And, okay, so I'll tell you right now, their next games, Wolves. That actually looks like the easiest, one of the more difficult games of them all. But Wolves, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, City.
Yeah.
I think after that, Everton are firmly in relegation zone.
I would be inclined to agree
with
you as well.
I think City would probably be the easiest game of the...
Oh, that's crazy.
It's crazy when you think that Wolves and City, and you look at the two, and Wolves might be slightly more difficult than City, but I think Everton are going to find it tough. That is, that's a fixture list I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy.
No.
I know, they are one of our enemies, but...
I agree with you. I think, I think they're going to be definitely down there, aren't they? Thereabouts when all those games are over. I can't see them picking up any points. Maybe
City.
A point, yeah, somewhere. But I can't see them getting any wins. But you never know.
Football is a crazy game. Sean Dyche is an interesting manager, so let's see what they do. Anyway, let's head over to Molineux, where Wolves hosted Bournemouth, and that was another interesting game. You know, ended 4-2 to Bournemouth. There was a hat trick of penalties.
Yeah.
Kluivert. That was the first time a hat-trick of penalties have been converted in the Premier League. It's happened. They've come close. I think Darren Bent came close. Steven Gerrard's come close. Aguero's come close. But actually, nobody's actually converted a hat-trick of penalties. And, you know, Justin Kluivert, son of Patrick.
One of my all-time favourite foreign
players.
Oh,
really? Yeah, there Patrick we go. Kluivert. All right. There we go. Well, his son's doing bits in Bournemouth right now. So, it was... this was a game, I didn't watch, I saw the highlights for this game, but this could have gone either way. You know, these are two sides that score a lot of goals, but I wouldn't have expected. I mean, it was comical. How do you give away three penalties?
Yeah, this is the thing, if I'm Wolves manager, I'm really, really frustrated because you've basically given them the game, haven't you? And this is the thing, is Wolves have just started to kind of turn things around a little bit, gaining a bit of momentum.
Absolutely.
And then when your players just do things like that and give away penalties, like just crazy penalties.
And they were back passes, and they put Jose Sarr was under pressure, and I'm surprised he wasn't even sent off for a couple of those penalties.
I mean, great pressing from Bournemouth.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Wolves basically made their life so difficult, just individual errors all over the place. As you say, silly back passes when they shouldn't be back passing at all. Sarr was under pressure. He had a terrible game very silly things. So all round, it was defensively a really, really bad performance from Wolves. And hopefully they can bounce back.
But what about the mental strength from Kluivert to put three penalties away? You got to give it to him.
It's not easy. But I mean, as I say, Sarr wasn't having a great game. His confidence was like in the toilet, wasn't it? I mean, just get it on target, hitting hard enough.
Anyway, let's head over to the G-Tech Community Stadium where Brentford hosted Leicester. And this is obviously, we're speaking right now because that was the game before Ruud van Nistelrooy took over. And Leicester were turned over 4-1 by a very good Brentford side.
Well, we know Brentford can score goals. The good thing about this game is they were against a team who weren't scoring an awful lot, were they?
No. And it was obviously, Mbeumo wasn't needed. wasn't involved in any way, shape, or form. No assists, no goals. It was all Wissa and another, you know, young fellow named Shada and Damsgaard. They were the difference maker in this game for Brentford.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, almost unheard of, isn't it? I think Mbeumo is usually involved.
He's always involved. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Whenever I see that, you know, 4-1, I'm thinking, oh, yes, my fantasy league is, oh, yeah, this is brilliant. And you look at it, and Mbeumo, no involvement whatsoever.
Mm. Wiss is still doing Wiss things.
He's still doing Wiss things, absolutely. But, you know, Leicester, you know, they've turned it around. They beat West Ham just as we're talking, just the game today. Have they turned it around?
They've turned it around, I think.
One game.
against a team who, in fairness, have been pretty terrible as well of late.
West Ham
right?
have yeah. been bad. West
they've
Ham
been
have
really
bad.
Bad of late. Yeah. So, I mean, great result for them, obviously, for Leicester. We'll see, again, coming through this Christmas period, they're going to have lots of games to prove themselves.
Yeah.
But Van Nistelrooy, why not? I mean, if somebody can get them scoring goals, it's someone who had a prolific goal scoring record himself,
right?
I guess,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, so, yeah, and Jamie Vardy. Yeah, having exactly, a party. Yeah. We can't right. repeat the rest of that song. Jamie Vardy's having a party. But that's all it is. Just Jamie Vardy having a party. Anyway, let's head over to the City Ground. That was Forest Ipswich. Oh, it's not looking good for Ipswich. They're just like, they're the nearly side. They lost again today, didn't they? Another 1-0 loss to away Fulham it was, I think. Or Crystal Palace, rather. Crystal Palace beat Ipswich today 1-0. Away from home, obviously, and it's just, yeah, Ipswich, it's not looking good, but they don't get beaten badly. That's what I'm seeing about them. It's just, you know, they don't have a lot of goals in them. It's going to be a tough season for them.
It is. Yeah. I mean, again, let's talk about Forest. They're having a pretty decent season.
Decent, yeah.
They scored a penalty as well. I mean, okay. It's not the end of the world. Palace one, I would be more upset about.
I think so.
I'd absolutely be, you know, I'd be very upset about losing that game. That is a game you want to be competitive in and really
getting
some
something
kind of
out.
Result.
Yeah, something.
But I don't know. I said it before. I like the way Ipswich play football. Yeah. I mean, look, they have some quality players, actually. I think some players that are going to go on to be very, very good players.
I think they're okay. Yeah, I think they've got almost a good enough side to keep them in the Premier League. And actually, if I were an Ipswich, I'd be looking at Everton and thinking, actually, you know what? We could stay up because we're not the worst side in the league.
Certainly not performing as the worst side in the league. As you say, they're not getting hammered by anybody.
No.
They can score goals. They need to score more, of course. They can get goals. They do have a bit of quality.
Yeah.
They need to pick up points against, let's say, the Palace teams. Play against Everton. You want to go out there and get a win there, definitely. Everton have a really tough run. If they pick up a few points, they're in a decent position,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, I wouldn't be too concerned right now for Ipswich.
Okay.
I think there's more points to be had.
I think so. I think you're just looking at Everton and thinking, actually, they will almost definitely drop into the relegation zone. Anyway, let's head over to Selhurst Park, where Palace hosted Newcastle. Who Newcastle? You know, traditionally not very good when they have to come down south. You know, maybe it's a little too warm for them down south in London. Who knows? But, somehow, Newcastle got a goal. And they led for a majority of the game.
They got a goal without having any shots.
Any shots, right? Yeah, so it was an own goal from Mark Gay. But, you know, Mark Gay, he persisted. And also, it was the final goal came from their fullback, Munoz, who was a constant threat. He actually missed, like, you know, an open goal at some point in the game. But, you know, he carried on. And it was a bullet header. The last touch of the game. So, you know, credit to him.
Well deserved. I mean, Palace would have been gutted if they hadn't got something from that game.
Considering that they kept Newcastle having absolutely no shots on goal.
Although
they kept going. I think the stats were 16 shots for Palace, 4 on target. So, you know, they did what they needed to do and they carried on going. That's what you have to do in the Premier League sometimes. You know, you just keep going. Anyway, let's head over to the Amex Stadium. That was Brighton hosted Southampton. That was a Friday game. Yeah, we sometimes forget about those, don't they?
Nobody wants to be playing football on a Friday
night.
They're
a bit uneventful occasionally. Mm. I mean, this was kind of eventful. There was a goal that Southampton scored that was disallowed because somebody might have been affecting play because he kind of moves. I think it's Armstrong.
Yeah, he's kind of in front of the ball. It goes behind him, doesn't it?
He's offside. But the ball doesn't look like it's intended for him. It's intended for Archer. And Archer puts it away. It's a great finish from Archer. But VAR has deemed Armstrong to have affected play because he looks like he's gone to play the ball, but there's no way the ball was for him.
Yeah, I mean, is it? Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if that's keeper related or not. Is it a distraction for the keeper?
He's not in the way. He's
yeah,
not.
Well, this is it, though, isn't it?
You could make an argument that is he affecting the keeper? Does the keeper have to adjust his positioning because Armstrong is there and he looks like Armstrong has gone? But Armstrong doesn't. There's no way, shape, or form Armstrong is getting that ball.
When the keeper moves, it doesn't look like he's moved to accommodate Armstrong there, does it? And it has gone behind, and then he moves across to make it. So, yeah, I mean,
it was harsh.
A bit harsh. I mean, it's one of those that could, I guess, have gone either way.
I mean, the rules of the game, letter of the law, isn't it? I mean, he made an attempt, and I'm not sure if he's making a strong enough attempt for them to say, actually, we got to disallow this. It's harsh, and I think the VAR, you know. I've been okay with VAR this season, mostly because we haven't been affected by it. But I think VAR needs to clear things like that up, even more so. So anyway, let's head over to, it's the last game of our roundup. And this was Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Tottenham doing Tottenham stuff.
Nathan King. Well, we talked about it last week.
Mr. Nathan King, if you're listening, I'm sure you'll find that funny. Tottenham doing Tottenham stuff. So Tottenham go over to the Etihad and absolutely demolished City 4-0. But for some reason or the other, Tottenham cannot remain consistent and they can't beat, who is it? Fulham.
Well, it's I think it's a week on week off thing for them, isn't it?
I think so. I think
like, well, we've done well this week, lads. We'll take a little rest
next
week.
Let's take a break. Yeah. Let's take a rest. And it's Tottenham's season right down to a T. They're just inconsistent. Yeah. What more can you say about that?
No, you can't say a lot. We can talk about Wilson still not starting.
No. I mean,
he didn't do anything in this game. He did have a couple of nice chances.
Yeah.
But he doesn't seem to be getting the starts, which I think is disappointing for him.
I almost said AC Milan. It was actually Fulham in their AC Milan strip. Had definitely the much better chances. They were unlucky. I think they had a player sent off. It was Tom Kearney was sent off. It was a bad, bad tackle, in fairness. And I think that was almost definitely, a straight red. It was one of those ones on the back of the heel, and it looks nasty every time you replay it. So anyway, we're happy.
Very happy.
We are happy. Let's talk again at the end of the week because
we'll have two games before
we'll have quite a few games to talk about. So that's the football full disclosure. We are happy, happy boys, aren't we? Anyway, let's keep it going, Liverpool. Sorry. No,
to anybody else who supports anybody
else. Yeah, and anyone else who supports anyone else, good luck to your sides. Anyway, that is game week 14.
Yep.
Yeah, brilliant. We'll catch you again next week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.